A Play of Giants by Wole Soyinka. Table of Contents. The Protagonists. The Superman of Africa. The Setting and the Art of Dictatorship. The Philosophy of Absolute Power. Economic Realities. The World Bank Conflict. The Intellectual Apologists. Professor Beatty. Paranoia and the James Bond. Defections. The Sculptor as Victim and Witness. The International Game. Russia vs. USA. The Climax. The Coup and the Hostage Crisis. Conclusion. The Boom Boom Finale. Key thematic observations from the book. Wole Soyinka's A Play of Giants is a blistering satire that dissects the grotesque nature of power, the complicity of international interests, and the intellectual rationalizations of tyranny. Set within the Bulgarian Embassy to the United Nations in New York, the play features a quartet of African dictators modeled on real-life figures as they navigate diplomatic tensions, internal dissent, and their own megalomania while posing for a monumental sculpture intended for the UN building. The protagonists, the Supermen of Africa. The play's central figures are four African heads of state, each representing a specific brand of 20th-century despotism. Soyinka explicitly identifies their real-life counterparts in his introductory notes. Field Marshal Kamini, modeled on Idi Amin of Uganda. He is the central hero of heroes, a physically imposing, semi-literate, and psychopathic leader who maintains power through raw brutality and a common man persona. Emperor Kasko, based on Jean-Baptiste Bokassa of the Central African Republic. He is depicted as a dwarfish creature who parodies Kamini's military aesthetic but adds a cloak of imperial purple, reflecting his obsession with Napoleonic grandeur. Bonifacio Gunema, modeled on Macias Nguema of Equatorial Guinea. A tall, thin man in immaculate tails, he is the philosopher of voodoo power, believing in a mystical, absolute control over the souls of his subjects. General Barad Touboum, based on Mobutu Sese Sekouf Zaire, Congo-Kinshasa. He is characterized by his authentic African attire, a striped animal skin outfit, and his reliance on a private, terrifying elite force known as the Striped Leopards, the setting and the art of dictatorship. The action takes place in a lounge converted into a studio within the Bulgarian Embassy. The play opens with a tableau. The dictators are seated on throne-like chairs, atop a stone stairway, posing for a sculptor, who is creating a life-size group sculpture of them. This sculpture serves as a physical manifestation of their desire for immortality and their demand for a commanding presence in the international community. Accompanying them is Gudrum, a repulsive Scandinavian journalist who is writing a hagiography titled The Black Giant at Play. She serves as the voice of the Western apologist, dismissing reports of the leader's atrocities as the disgusting libel of failed subversives and homosexuals who are terrified of virility, the philosophy of absolute power. As the leaders pose, they engage in a serious discussion regarding the nature of power. Gunema argues that beyond politics lies a rare space of pure existence, power for its own sake. He likens his control to voodoo, a tranquil, extendido force that dominates the soul of the nation. Kasko, meanwhile, looks to the French Revolution, praising the indivisible power of Robespierre while warning that power is debased when shared with the riffraff. Kamini's approach is more direct. He treats subversives as bandits and insists the only treatment for dissent is to make the offender smell his mother's cunt, a recurring phrase denoting total humiliation and death. He prides himself on being a jovial family man and a big uncle to his people while simultaneously maintaining a task force to liquidate any hint of opposition. Economic realities. The World Bank conflict. The first major disruption to the sitting involves the chairman of the Bulgaria Central Bank. Kamini has brought the entire national bank with him to New York to ensure no one steals money behind my back. The chairman arrives with bad news. The World Bank has refused a direct cash loan, offering only to fund specific projects that they would supervise. Kamini is outraged, viewing the refusal as a dirty capitalist plot and economic sabotage. When the chairman attempts to explain the economic reality that the Bulgarian currency is virtually worthless and needs backing, Kamini accuses him of treason. He hauls the chairman to the embassy's toilet, ordering a task force special to dunk the chairman's head in the bowl and flush it repeatedly. Kamini declares that since the chairman called the currency shit paper, he should drink some shit water until he learns respect. The intellectual apologists, Professor Beatty. A significant portion of the play critiques the role of the intelligentsia in sustaining tyranny. This is embodied by Professor Beatty, an African-American academic and sociologist who is writing a book titled The Black Giant at Work. Beatty is a fervent defender of Kamini, attributing all of Bagara's problems to neo-colonial conspiracy and multinational conglomerates. Beatty dismisses reports of human rights violations as diversionary scarecrows and imperialist propaganda. He is so blinded by his ideological dream of African liberation that he ignores the reality of the desaparecidos and the brutalization of the populace. Even when confronted with the fact that Kamini's own cabinet has fled the country, Beatty suggests contacting Interpol to arrest the thieves who have misguided the leader. Paranoia and the James Bond defections. The dictator's giant's status is constantly undermined by the reality of their fragility. The Bagaran ambassador enters in a state of terror to report that the entire ministerial delegation has defected. The ministers used a tape recorder to play back their voices in the committee room while they escaped through a lavatory window into a cleaner's passage. Kamini is humiliated by the James Bond tricks of his subordinates, screaming that they are common thieves who have embezzled money. His response is to order his task force to attack their villages and families back home, asserting that the guilt extends beyond the grave. The sculptor is victim and witness. The sculptor becomes a focal point of Kamini's mounting paranoia. When the sculptor explains that a single statue cannot be finished in a day due to the technical requirements of casting, Kamini interprets this as an insult to his intelligence. He accuses the white Makongo carver of calling him stupid. Suspecting the sculptor is a spy for British intelligence, MI5. Or Madame Tussauds, Kamini has his guards beat the man severely. The sculptor later appears, swathed in bandages from head to toe, mummified and unable to speak, yet forced to continue working under the threat of further accidents or execution. The international game, Russia versus USA. The play brilliantly satirizes the Cold War dynamics of the era. Representatives from both the Soviet Union and the United States arrive at the embassy to court Kamini, each claiming to be his true, fraternal supporter. The Russian delegates provide a hilarious display of doublespeak. Speaking in Russian, which Beatty translates, the first Russian calls Kamini a buffoon and a cretin, while the second Russian translates these as illustrious leader and courageous hero. The Russians offer a babushka doll as a cynical gift, which Beatty recognizes as an insult, leading to a confrontation. The Russians eventually admit their pragmatism. They know Kamini is a common butcher, but they sustained him to fill the vacuum left by the British and Americans because his presence coincided with their interests. The U.S. delegates are equally opportunistic, promising to ignore any rebels as long as their own founding father, George Washington, is given an appropriate place alongside Kamini's statue. The climax, the coup and the hostage crisis. The final act begins with the revelation of a coup d'etat in Bagara. The ambassador and most of the staff have fled, and the embassy is cut off. Kamini, rather than fleeing, declares the embassy to be sovereign Bagaran soil, and takes everyone present the UN Secretary General, the Russian and American delegates, and Professor Beatty as hostages. He orders his task force to booby-trap the building and positions a rocket launcher in the toilet window. Pointed directly at the UN building, he demands that the UN recognize him as president for life, and that the World Bank deliver the loan in cash, or he will reduce the United Nations to rubble. Conclusion. The boom boom finale. As the play concludes, a crowd of Bagaran refugees gathers outside, chanting, out, 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 Kamini, and calling him a butcher and cannibal. In his final act of delusion, Kamini believes the people have risen to defend him. When the crowd begins throwing objects at the windows, Kamini bellows the order, fire. Shoot, shoot, dot. The play ends with the sounds of machine guns and rocket launchers opening up on the crowd and the city, a final, violent manifestation of the hero of heroes, choosing to preside over a necropolis rather than relinquish the booty of power. Key thematic observations from the book, The Complicity of Silence. Shoyinka argues that the willed ignorance of politicians and intellectuals allowed monsters like Amin to thrive. The inversion of values. The play demonstrates how power calls to power, leading even brilliant men to rationalize the crudest barbarities. In the name of success, the erasure of the elite, the dictatorship in the play, and in reality, result in the destruction of the nation's cream of professionals and the brutalization of normal sensibilities. The Monkey and the Booty. Shoyinka uses the folktale of the monkey who will not unclench its fist to save itself as a metaphor for the dictator's suicidal grip on power. This summary is for educational purposes only.